This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Trash Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. It's a Trash Tuesday, so let's take out the trash. What's bugging you? Let's take out the trash here on the phones at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Last night, Jameis Winston, an impressive early showing, and the Saints get a victory in a preseason matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Meantime, flip side, Trevor Lawrence struggled at times, and Urban Meyer certainly looked exasperated. Joining us this morning on the show, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com, analyst for CBS Sports HQ, our friend Pete Prisco. Pete, good morning.
What's up? How are you?
I'm great. You spent a lot of time around the Jacksonville Jaguars organization for many years. You know that franchise intimately. Last night, you could tell in Urban Meyer's face a lot of frustration. Do you think that this has long legs, or do you think the stint by Urban Meyer in Jacksonville could be a short one?
Well, I don't think what's happened in the preseason would dictate that anyways. There's always the question of it being a short one with him because of his track record. So they haven't got off to a good start. That's obvious. And he clearly does not like losing, even if it's in the preseason. I heard he had a rough go of it last week just because he lost his first preseason game. And that's not an attitude that you need to have in the NFL. And so he's got to change a few things. I mean, he brought a bunch of college-like things to the program, which I don't necessarily agree with. And I've heard some of the players aren't thrilled with him either, including having a microphone on the field, one of his assistants on the field during practice with a boom mic telling everybody to hydrate and hustle and get to the next period. So obviously he's a work in progress. He's been a good football coach everywhere he's been. It's a lot different when you recruit guys to your school and have a bunch of the top players, the five stars, than it is trying to build something. So it's going to be a challenge. I'm not giving up on what he can do in his first two games. I don't think that's fair to him. I don't think it's fair to the quarterback, but they're not off to a good start.
Which of the two dynamics at play would short-circuit this thing quickest? Would it be that he likes to move around and might not have patience for the job itself, or that, as you said, there's been some college amateurish gimmicks that might drive his players batty?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter more than the former. And obviously, he took the job with the idea that Trevor Lawrence would be his quarterback. You were drawn to that job because of that. And he's been given carte blanche there. I mean, from everything he's changed inside the building, they've added a bunch of new things, cryotherapy, all kinds of stuff have been added in that building at his request. He has the biggest coaching staff in the NFL. It's enormous. So he got everything he wanted there. There's a trainer, a stretching coach for every position when they stretch, so that they all get the proper stretch. I mean, the team has gone above and beyond what he had requested, and so now he has to win. And the problem is, he said he had the best of the best in his coaching staff. It's clear that offense is a disaster right now. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't have speed outside. Now, DJ Chark wasn't there last night, but they're not a fast team, and that's something that he preached all offseason, and it shows up with the quarterback. So they have problems. They have a week to kind of fix them, or a couple weeks before the regular season, but right now they do not look very good.
Pete Prisco joins us, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. You tweeted last night, Saints QB battle over, the way it was always going to end with Jameis Winston as the starter. The gimmick can go back to being the gimmick. Do you think it was a real quarterback competition, or do you think Sean Payton always had the intention of Jameis as the starter?
I think the idea was that Jameis would be the starter. And the reason being this, and Taysom Hill probably doesn't want to hear this, but he offers a lot of value outside of playing quarterback in that. And you know, I was there a couple of weeks ago, and I had this exact conversation with Sean Payton, and I called Taysom Hill the gimmick, and he understood. One's a quarterback, and one's a gimmick. And so you can bring Taysom Hill off the bench in spurts and let him do some things as in the gimmicky way. You couldn't do the opposite if he started a quarterback. You couldn't bring Jameis Winston in to throw the football around. So that's part of the process. I think that impacted part of the decision. Also, Taysom Hill plays special teams. He's important to what they do on special teams. They think he could be a receiver if they wanted to use him in that fashion. So there's more value in using him that way. And, oh, by the way, Jameis Winston's a better quarterback. I mean, he's a stand in the pocket. He got through for 5,000 yards. And one thing everybody points out that he's thrown a ton of interceptions, and indeed he has. And all the coaches you've ever talked to that have coached him said, look, I got to get out of him being a hero on every play. And Sean Payton, his quarterbacks don't throw interceptions, so I think that's going to be a number to keep an eye on. But I do think Winston is the right choice for the job. It's the way it had to be.
In Miami, it feels like everything will be decided upon whether they get a better Tua Tagovailoa than last year, because the rest of their team's really good. Their coach seems really good. They seem poised for a leap. Are you optimistic that this is a better version of Tua than we saw last year and enough to help make a playoff run?
He will be better. The question becomes how much better. And, I was there for practice a couple weeks ago and was impressed. He looked better driving the ball, and that's something they're preaching to him. Throw the ball down the field. We need to, get some big chunk plays. He didn't do much of that last year. And so he's been better at that in the preseason. But, again, it's the preseason. And when you look at, you mentioned it, Brian Flores is a heck of a coach. I have nothing but respect for the way his team plays. They play hard. They play tough. They play physical. But he's tied to Tua. Let's be real. If Tua is a good quarterback or above, then they're going to be a good team and he's going to stay around. If Tua is a failure, they're going to be a bad team and he's not going to be around. So it's no different than most places. You are tied to your quarterback if you're a coach, and that's why it's a big year for Tua, and it's also a big year for Brian Flores in terms of what Tua does.
Which camp are you in, Andy Dalton or Justin Fields week one?
I always say play the kid right away, but I think they're going to start Andy Dalton. I'm a big believer in you throw the kid in there and let him play. And everybody says, well, what happens if you mess with his psyche? Well, if you mess with his psyche, you drafted the wrong kid. And everybody goes back to David Carr, but David Carr got beat up. But it was more than that. There were other things at play as to why he didn't become a quality quarterback. Then they point to Aaron Rodgers not playing. It helped him become a better quarterback. If Aaron Rodgers had played week one, he would have been a great quarterback too. So if you draft the right guy, no matter what happens on the field, it's better for the quarterback. And every single quarterback I've ever talked to told me, look, who sat out for a year, said, I learned more playing one game than I did sitting out watching an entire season. You can't learn playing, standing on the sideline. You got to learn playing. So I would play Justin Fields right away. I think the Bears will play Andy Dalton.
I know you and I have spoken at length about Tebow on this show, and you and I were in the same camp, that it was a waste of an invite. He wasn't going to make the roster, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, all of the Tebow acolytes came out of the woodwork and harassed both you and I separately. You got, I mean, absolutely berated by many of them. And, you know, I always wondered why the pro-Tebow faction just simply could not deal in reality, and it had to be the fiction of Tim Tebow versus the absolute reality. And then I saw some NFL media doing this as well, and I wondered, what is going on here? What do you think happened this summer where so many people just didn't want to recognize the obvious reality of his limitations and his the impossibility of him being on the opening roster?
Well, I think some of it had to do, go back to his days, his college, when he was the hero at Florida, and then he, you know, he warmed over everybody with, you know, his being such a stand-up guy, great guy, you know, all that, and the fact that he went on to the NFL and had the accident game in Denver in the postseason where he threw a slant and Demaryius Thomas went 80 yards, and they made it out like Tebow made this great throw, and then the legend grew, and the reality was he couldn't play quarterback at all. And everybody knew that, but if you kept pushing back on that, and by the way, I was one of the last guys saying, even through the process when he was in the playoffs, that he couldn't play. I was getting hammered for that as well, and it played out that way. And then when you go look at him as a tight end, you know, I remember coming on your show saying, look, he can't block, and he won't be able to block, and he's a small guy in a position where you need to be more physical. And all of a sudden, you started seeing all the, you know, the gifs of him not being able to block anybody because he couldn't do it. He wasn't tough enough. It's one thing to be tough as a quarterback. It's another thing to be tough as a tight end. He was limited physically. He had no suddenness, and yet everybody got caught up in it. And I just don't understand why. It's not a personal thing, and everybody makes it out to be it's an attack. When you get pounded by tons of people pushing back on, oh, Timmy's a great guy in the locker room, what sticks in? And Troy Aikman said something like that the other day. Oh, you know, this is something about him being in the locker room and all that. What sixth-string tight end is going to lead anybody anywhere? Nobody pay anybody, and Troy Aikman should know better. He's been in many a locker room. Nobody pays attention to the scrubs in the locker room. You pay attention to the stars. You pay attention to the guys who play, and that's why I never quite understood that.
It is really one of the most bizarre things that have happened in sports media and players that we cover. I mean, in your defense, every fact is stacked against Tim Tebow having a value on the football field and the pros. Every team cut him. Every team passed over him as a quarterback. Even the team that he won with didn't want him the immediate offseason after. Bill Belichick has seen every player ever, and he's found some type of skill set that he could utilize. Couldn't find it with Tim Tebow. He was 34 years old. He never played the position. They wanted him a tight end. And people just still thought that there was a job for him. And now even his greatest proponent in the NFL cut him midway through August. And people still think he got a raw deal. It's like, everybody, what are you looking at? It's mind-boggling.
It's strange. And anything that has to do with him has been strange in his entire career in terms of polarizing people. And I just don't understand it.
Finally, about the Bills in Buffalo, I know that there's some worry that, oh my goodness, Austin would want the Bills, and could the Bills leave? Could you ever foresee a situation where Buffalo does not get the stadium done?
Well, you never want to say never, but I do think that they'll work through it and get it done. I think, you know, smarter people will get their minds together and realize what that franchise has meant to that city, and there's a long storied history there, and I'd hate to see them leave, but we've seen it play out before. You know, look what happened, you know, with the Browns, and they were a strong, storied franchise and left. And so you never want to say never, but I'd like to think that they could work that out. But, you know, this is all about money. You know, one year, about 30 years ago, I was having a conversation with Pete Rozelle, and he told me, he said, everything that will ever happen in the NFL going forward will be dictated by stadiums. And I said, what? And he said, everything. He said, expansion, relocation, Super Bowls, money will all be dictated by the stadiums. And if you look at what happened in Los Angeles, exactly. That's exactly what happened. They had two teams relocate there. They also are getting a Super Bowl, and they're going to be a big money-generating stadium. If you build the stadium, if it generates money, if it's one of those stadiums where teams can make a lot more money, that's going to drive the movement and the possible relocation of the Buffalo Bills. So to answer your question, is it possible? You bet.
Prophetic, absolutely. Everything's dictated by these stadiums these days, the NFL. Pete Prisco, check him out on Twitter. He's excellent at Prisco CBS. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Read him at CBSSports.com. Always good to catch up, Pete. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, DA. Take care, buddy.
Okay, you too. My thoughts on that Buffalo situation. I have so little faith in the goodness of the hearts of the NFL owners. I have so little faith in doing what's right by NFL heritage, fans, legacy, history. And yet, I don't think the Bills will ever be allowed to leave Buffalo. Part of that is, right now, your commissioner is from Western New York. Roger Goodell is from Jamestown, New York, which is not far from Buffalo. He is intimately aware of the relationship of the Bills and that region and what they mean to so many people. I think also you have a moment in time right now where the Bills brand and their connection to their city has become larger than maybe the team itself. Bills Mafia, hashtag Bills Mafia, in the age of social media has become its own cartoon. And it's a fun, whimsical, crazy, silly cartoon that makes the NFL seem cooler. Now, the Bills went to four consecutive Super Bowls in the early 90s. There was no, quote, Bills Mafia back then. There was no hashtags back then. There were no GIFs or videos or Twitter clips of people smashing through folding tables. But Bills fans have always been incredibly loyal, incredibly diehard. But the thing with the Bills Mafia right now helps them. Like, you just wouldn't go, yeah, hashtag Bills Mafia if they moved to Austin. And these dynamics in play, I believe, prevent the Bills from ever leaving. I don't think, unlike the Raiders, which they allowed to leave, unlike the Rams, unlike the Chargers, I don't think in the modern NFL scope they would view the Bills leaving as good for business. Now, the Raiders are the best comp here because the Raiders leaving Oakland was potentially bad for business as well because of the Raiders fandom black hole brand. But they felt black hole craziness could be recreated in Vegas, that enough Raiders fans would travel to Vegas weekly, and they wanted to be in Vegas. What did Pete just say? Stadiums, Super Bowls. They want a Super Bowl in Las Vegas. They don't care about a Super Bowl in Austin. And they don't assume Bills fans get on flights every Sunday and go down to Austin and recreate Bills Mafia. So I don't think it's the same. And of course, the Cleveland Browns is this kind of warning to everybody. Hey, if they can move the Browns, they can move anybody. It was a different NFL. The NFL was caught off guard by the Browns moving and Art Modell moving. They assumed, the league assumed, Cleveland will work this out. And they never really got involved until it was, oh my God, it's really going to happen. And then they said, okay, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't bring the Browns there. You got to bring the Ravens or whatever else. So the Browns stay in Cleveland, and then automatically it was expansion back into Cleveland. Automatically the wheels started moving. Got to get the expansion team back in Cleveland. I don't think the NFL, after what happened with the Browns, would ever have that hit them unexpectedly again and then have to go into, well, you can't move the Bills. You got to just move the team. But then we have the expansion team Bills. You know, they would never recreate the expansion team Bills. It just wouldn't make sense. And if you go back to the Raiders, it is virtually impossible without 100% private money to build a stadium in California these days. It's why the A's are dying on the vine right now. It is why the Raiders had to move. It is why the Chargers had to move into a privately financed stadium in Los Angeles. It's virtually impossible. The Giants had to do it in San Francisco. The Warriors had to do it in San Francisco. You've got to build your own stadium, 100% private financing. Not the same in New York. They'll get you public financing. Now, it won't be 100%, but in New York, you can get public financing for arenas and stadiums. It has happened. So I think ultimately this ends with them figuring this puzzle out. But Roger Goodell speaking about it publicly is supposed to move the needle. They don't want to move the Bills. He's talking about it so that they don't have to move the Bills because there's not a better solution. I think when it came to the Raiders, they felt like Vegas was a better solution. And I know they thought the Raiders going to L.A. was a better solution, but they figured, okay, we move the musical chairs around. We get to fix. The Rams fixed themselves because Kroenke built the stadium. We don't need to be in St. Louis. We'd rather be in Los Angeles. We get to fix the Chargers because they can't get a new stadium. And they just move up the road. We get to fix the Raiders because we wanted to be in Vegas anyway. They don't want to be in Austin. They don't care about Austin. No offense, but they don't care. There's no other city out there they really care about right now. They don't need Portland. So they want to be in Buffalo, which is why you're going to hear Goodell rattling cages and why, of course, as Pete said, never say never. But by the same token, it's why I believe it is not the same at all as the Browns or the Raiders, that ultimately it will get done. And I am saying that from somebody who is completely pessimistic on the front offices and the ownerships and the commissioner's office of the NFL. When we come back here on the DA show, it seems like Larry Fitzgerald is retired, but is he? And how awkward is this? We'll talk about that next and get into more of you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Your Trash Tuesdays, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
I have a big wiener in my hand.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Trash Tuesday, so send us your trashes. DA on CBS or on the phone at 855-212-4227. Larry Fitzgerald did an interview with Jim Gray and has admitted that right now he doesn't have the heart to play football.
For now, I'm going to be a radio broadcaster. Right, Jim, to be honest with you, I just don't have the urge to play right now. I don't know how I'll feel in September, October, November moving forward. But as of today, I just don't have the urge. And, I think I have to be respectful of that. Football is not one of those games you want to walk out there and play and not be fully engaged and ready to prepare and do the things necessary that you need to do.
So this is super awkward. Because is Larry Fitzgerald retired? If so, he should have this ultimate celebration. I mean, Fitzgerald is easily one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history. The city of Phoenix and the state of Arizona absolutely adores him. He should be serenaded with pomp and circumstance. Larry Fitzgerald is a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. So we start the clock on Canton. And we should have these tributes to his career. We should be tweeting about it and seeing it on social media, and ESPN and CBS should be running specials on this. And, you know, there should be this whole thing that Larry freaking Fitzgerald retired after 17 thoroughly dominant seasons where, oh, by the way, he's also an unbelievable gentleman, a class act, had fun on the field, great sense of humor, and is Mr. Cardinal. He's the greatest Cardinal in franchise history. That goes all the way back to the Chicago Cardinals. He is the greatest player in franchise history by a long shot, and we don't even really know if he's retired. So I got to think that he's not completely retired. Jim Gray did ask him, is this just a ploy not to go to training camp? And he said, no. He said, I'm not going to lie. Nobody likes training camp, but this is not that. I got to think he's going to come back at some point this season. And I got to assume it's for the Cardinals, that he just doesn't want training camp and his heart's not in the early part of the season, and that maybe he feels like he can give the team something for the final 8 to 10 games and perhaps a playoff run. I can't imagine this is the start of him just not playing, and then, I don't know, October 15th, he goes, no, you know what? Yeah, I'm really done now. I got to think there's something more left in the tank for Fitz, or else he would have a teary-eyed retirement, and the Cardinals would have the backdrop behind him, and there'd be an assembled media, and we would talk all day long about how great he is. So this is very awkward and very bizarre to me, but because it's awkward and bizarre, I am holding out hope that it's not final. This just it does not feel like Fitzgerald should just kind of fade away into the ether and we never have a moment of truly appreciating everything that he is. Now, granted, when he does have to put pen to paper, okay, but, you know, it's just, he's kind of like coyly talking about retiring. Maybe we'll see how I feel in September. I mean, September's like 3 weeks away. 2 weeks away now. Actually, it's next Wednesday. How about that? September 1st is next Wednesday.
Where did the summer go?
He gone. So I just can't imagine this is the way this ends. So I got to think there's a partial season to be played by Larry Fitzgerald at some point in time. Some point in time this season. I didn't get to the story earlier. I do want to discuss this. Federal prosecutors revealed some of their evidence against the Angels communications director Eric Kay in court documents filed on Friday, which alleged that Eric Kay, who was at the center of Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs' death 2 years ago, they alleged that he was asking drug suppliers to deliver opioids to Angels Stadium and offered team memorabilia and tickets as incentives, and that he was potentially using Tyler Skaggs as a go-between, a middleman, to get players opioids. Now, what was in Tyler Skaggs' system was devastating. And Kay told federal agents he repeatedly provided oxycodone to Skaggs, who was found dead in his hotel room after choking on his own vomit. He had ingested oxycodone, fentanyl, and grain alcohol. Now, your body, you could abuse any one of those three and potentially die. You abuse all three of those things at the same time, and that's how you die. You choke on your own vomit. Your body just simply cannot process grain alcohol, fentanyl, and oxycodone. What I am caught by here is that America has an opioid problem, an opioid crisis, and we are all well aware of this. Every governmental official has addressed this. Both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, admit we need to do something about this. This is the one thing America can agree on. We have an opioid crisis. We have a generation of people addicted to opioids, painkillers, illegal painkillers, mixing painkillers. We've given everybody enough drugs over the years to where now they're addicted to the drugs. Funny how that happens. Big Pharm. So this is clearly at the epicenter of killing a generation of people here in the United States. and it could be at the very center of Major League Baseball, where somebody working in a team office was distributing these opioids through a current player to other players through the stadium. Major League Baseball has faded in national relevance over the years. They have faded in being something that we talk about constantly, and maybe something that even we hold up very dear as a country. That because it's boring, it doesn't have the stars, it's too old-fashioned, what have you, that we don't look at it as the shiny object of Americana anymore. Baseball could play a very important and crucial role here in trying to really change what is happening with the opioid crisis. Because baseball can be the league that says, this happened under our watch, and we have to be vigilant, and we will invest money, and we will invest resources, and be a cornerstone of society in this way. Look, this is an organization, a company, a corporation that makes billions of dollars. If it wanted to allocate millions, tens of millions, or even hundreds of millions to helping fight the opioid crisis, to whatever extent that can be helped, it could. But will it? Baseball's done a really good job fighting steroids. But that's also a competitive advantage. Does it care if its players were using and dying from opioids? Does it care if it's a league that can take a leadership path to fighting opioid crisis? Does it care, or will it hide from this? Will it try to paint Tyler Skaggs and Eric Kay as outliers? There's no issue here. You know, we're so sorry that Tyler passed away, but ultimately, bad apple Eric Kay, he goes to jail, and we just wash our hands of it. Because baseball has an opportunity here to say, this happened under our watch, this can happen under any family's watch, any school's watch, any company's watch, any town's watch. We have to be vigilant and proactive and try to create a safety net so that we don't keep killing ourselves on this stuff. But will they? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, because I don't know where the league's owners will demand that Rob Manfred goes. But they could. They could, and they should. Standing by, headlines. Andrew Bogish. AB, what up?
DA, these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycles, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Pete Prisco just said it. Jameis Winston won the Saints starting QB job last night, but Sean Payton isn't telling us anything.
Yeah, I don't have a time frame, though. I'll give you, like, when we know what direction we're going, we'll let you guys know. And we're not going to try to anticipate saying, hey, it's going to be midweek or next week. Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, the best way for us to handle it, and it's kind of how we've always handled something like this.
Winston went 9 for 10, 123 yards and 2 scores in the first quarter last night, his first start since 2019.
I haven't started a football game in so long, man, so I was so excited to just get an opportunity to start and lead the pack, man. It was exciting, and the rhythm was great. Offensive line was phenomenal, and we had guys like Quez making plays all night, man. You gotta love that.
Marquez Callaway caught both of Winston's touchdown passes. Taysom Hill played the second quarter, part of the third, 11 for 20, 138 yards and 1 TD. The Saints beat the Jaguars 23-21. Trevor Lawrence under duress for most of the first half behind a makeshift offensive line. He went 14 for 23, 113 yards. He was sacked once, put 3 points on the board. Fellow rookie running back Travis Etienne suffered a left midfoot sprain last night, reportedly is out indefinitely. The Falcons expected to add Josh Rosen after A.J. McCarron tore his ACL. Jets linebacker Jared Davis might miss 2 months with an ankle injury. And J.J. Watt is back at practice with the Cardinals after injuring his hamstring during his conditioning run as camp opened. The Yankee win streak is 10. The Brave win streak ends at 9. A 5-1 bomber win in Atlanta. Giancarlo Stanton, the tie-breaking two-run double plus a solo homer. The Cubs snapped their 13-game skid at Wrigley, 6-4 over the Rockies on Rafael Ortega's walk-off two-run blast. And the Astros still in a mini slump.
Here's the pitch, and he swings and drives it to left, and that's going to find the gap and roll all the way to the wall. In comes Taylor. Rivera right behind. He will score, and the Royals go in front 7-1. How about this?
That's from Royals Radio. Three hits and three RBI for Whit Merrifield as KC won in Houston 7-1. The Astros have dropped 4-5. The ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 expected to formalize their alliance today. The agreement will include some football games, all because Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC. Oklahoma QB Spencer Rattler picked first team preseason All-America yesterday. North Carolina's Sam Howell is the second team QB. Notre Dame and Iowa State lead the way with 3 reps apiece. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Joe tweets, there's absolutely no way in hell that Jerry Jones and Cal McNair allow a team in Austin, nor the power brokers at UT. They've got enough problems there. Yeah, in terms of Jerry Jones and the Texans as well, I agree. I think that's a big roadblock to ever having another team in the city of Austin or the state of Texas in general. Kim Jong Trill, a.k.a. MCM Gravy, tweets, I'm trashing myself for thinking I can start a slow cooker barbecue beef at 4 p.m. and it'll be ready to pull apart and put away before bedtime. What was I thinking? Hashtag amateur hour, hashtag get me out.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Get him out.
Get him out. Tyler Eckstein tweets, I'm trashing this whole week because once it's done, I'm on a 12-week paid maternity leave for the birth of my son. 3 months, son! Hashtag have fun with your marriage. Hashtag crunching and munching.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
12-week paid maternity leave.
Was that a male or a female?
Tyler is, at least from the avatar, a man.
It's paternity leave, not maternity leave. How about me correcting somebody?
Oh, boy.
Crunching and munching.
Well, if I said maternity, you know, poof.
Are you going to take some for Peyton?
Yeah, I'm not taking 12 weeks. No, I got a job to do. It happens during football season. I will be off that first week, and maybe I'll take another week off down the line after football, but I have a job to do.
Of all the things, we are going to Boise, Idaho, for a week of fun and revelry surrounding the Boise State-Oklahoma State game coming up the week, Saturday, September the 18th. I'm going to be there starting on Monday night of that week, broadcasting Tuesday on. Oh. Because Mraz, essentially the 9-month mark, the due date is the date of this game. He is not going this time around. 3 years later, Bogish is going to get the call to come with me. And so at the first thing that you were frustrated by was having another child this soon. The second thing was that they were going to be back-to-back girls in back-to-back grades, high school, college.
Yep.
Then it was that now you guys are tying it off at the knot, and so there's not going to be a third, so no boys here, so you can't carry on the Mraz legacy.
It's not a legitimate scientific tie-off. It's me just saying it's tied off.
Okay. So Danielle would be open to a third?
I don't think so, and I'm really not open to a third. I'm just not going through with any procedures to prevent a third.
I see. So no snip, snip. So those were three biggies right off the bat, and now you learn. Also, by the way, you were adamant you will never have a child born during football season.
Yep.
No way. You can't have a birthday during football season. Can't do it. Now you'll have 2 birthdays during football season because Taylor was born around Thanksgiving.
Horrendous.
And so,
by the way, around Christmas.
Around Christmas, rather. And so now you'll have a back-to-back belly-to-belly. You'll have September birthdays and December birthdays. And you'll miss an entire week in Boise.
Which is the worst part. There's no doubt about it. That's absolutely the worst part. Now you decide to go for a full week. And that Sunday, that football Sunday, we could be hanging out with listeners. The Giants are the Thursday night game, so I really could have not had to focus for 3 hours that day. Everything's coming anti-Sean here. I got to deal with this rat kid and miss the trip to Boise now.
Rat kid?
I'm going to love her, but at the moment, yeah. I'd rather be in the blue turf.
And, unfortunately for you, the doctors are saying that Peyton's blood sugar level is remarkably high, and so yeah. You are worried about weight gain.
Yeah, now we've balanced that out a little bit. We've had some insulin involved, but still, as I said, you know, it could be this little mini version of Roseanne Barr that pops out in mid-September, and then what are we going to do? It's going to be ugly. Everything about this is going to be ugly. But enjoy all the potatoes. I'll be at a hospital.
Idaho Fry
having a
company.
Kid. Are you really upset about having a kid? Is that really what we're going with
I
here?
I adore my daughter, and I'm sure I will adore the other. I could be upset about the timing of
it. But you're leaving
kid.
The door open to not?
Well, I'm upset. I could love the next, you know, the rest of my life with my child and hate the timing that they're born.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
What's Peyton's due date?
I don't think you can.
So the original due date was October 14th, but it got, because of all the size and the sugar and all that, we got past the can't carry point of, I think, October 1st. And based on doctor's appointments, the belief is it's around that September 19th marker, which is right on that weekend. Again, could we make it to that October 1st? Sure. I hope at this point we don't, because if this baby's not born and you guys come back and you're high-fiving, what a week it was in Boise, and I'm still sitting here sans baby, I'm going to be really ticked off.
So not only do we have an amazing week in Boise lined up, but also Baby Watch will be on, and everybody will be rooting for the baby not to have been born so that when we come back, Mraz could have made the trip.
Yeah, everything about this stinks. Give me a potato.
When we come back on the show, Advanced Analytics and your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
What was the most impressive part of the 1884 St. Louis Maroons? Was it going 94-19 or their mustaches? 63% said their mustaches. In 1884, the U.S. president was Chester Arthur. In America, in the middle of a depression. It was the first year of the 8-hour workday. The Washington Monument was completed, and 103 years later, Mraz was brought into the world by Bob and Nancy Mraz. We brought this up because last night the Braves and Yankees got together, and it was the first time in 120 years that two teams on 9-game winning streaks or more played. The only other time it had happened before then was 1884 with the Maroons. So take that for data. Here is your epic fail, Pete and AB fighting during Trash Tuesday.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
We had a storm, Hurricane Henry, Henry, or whatever.
Henri.
Yes.
Henry.
It's more sophisticated.
And, you know, we were hearing about it all weekend, about how it could hit Long Island, hit Rhode Island, but, you know, it was going to hit Long Island, it was going to hit right over Bob's Bar, it was going to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then it ended up turning toward Rhode Island. How do we not have the technology with all these Dopplers and all these radars? How do we not have the technology that tells you exactly what's going to happen with said storm?
They were beyond gutless.
I don't get it. We have technology on our phones. We have technology everywhere you can find it. We can't get the technology for this. Get them out.
Totally fair.
And with this system, you got this guy buying rope and tying down his bar.
I got so much rope.
You guys are so wrong on this.
It's DA's Dojo of Death.
You're so wrong on this.
Tell us how we're wrong.
I will defend weather people until my last day on this planet.
Boy.
You're asking them to know in advance perfectly where miles and miles and miles of clouds and energy and rain and wind is going to go.
vocal combat.
I'm not
when
saying
bumping
them.
Against other big features. No, but you are. You wanted. You said exactly that. You said I want to know where it's going.
Finish him.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the technology. I'm not saying them. I'm saying the technology. Why haven't we invented something that can tell us that? We have all these Dopplers.
We invented technology that told us it was going to... 2 days before that, it was spinning off the Florida coast, and they said it's coming generally up here, so be ready in Long Island, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts, and it's exactly what it did. It came up the entire coast of America.
I'm running around looking for a generator specialist. There's none of them out there.
Well done, warrior.
And nothing
well,
happened.
Well, that's your fault. That's not Mr. G's fault.
That definitely is Mr. G's fault. And his radar.
Mr. G.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Hawaiian Tony Danza tweets, Irv Gikofsky, also known as Mr. G, has been delivering forecasts on New York television for almost 40 years. His picture has to be part of the Fry DA meme that Cap the Wizard of Watch DA does. Mr. G's latest model has the Giants making the playoffs. Hashtag unpipe it. And thus concludes our radio program. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good and be good to one another. We will see you tomorrow when we will meet the Marquette Marvel for the first time. The Mothership Disconnect.
Generator Specialist.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.